Our gracious God, we are so very grateful that by your grace and through your mercy we have been saved and have become your children, and that we are here this morning, Lord. We could be at the beach, we could be walking in the burg, but we love to be here. We love to be with brothers and sisters, singing your praises and listening to the Bible. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak into our lives this morning as we learn from your word in a few moments. We long to be godly people in our words, in our deeds, in our thoughts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On Sunday mornings, as you all know, we come together and learn from God's word, and we've busy been going through Philippians. And I'm going to ask you to turn to the passage that our brother Don read to us. We're in chapter 4 this morning, and we're going to have a look at verses 8 and 9. So please do keep your Bibles always open before you. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9. I'm sure that all of us here today will remember that very, very old story. I'm not too sure if it's an apocryphal story of the farmer who was a little concerned about the boy who was working for him. So he went up to the boy one day and he said to him, "What do you do in your spare time, Johnny?" Johnny replied, "Sometimes I sit and think. Other times I just sit." Now that's exactly what I want to share a little bit with you on this morning as we press on through Philippians. There is so much, my friends, in our society that encourages us to just sit. So for example, in your home, I'm sure in your lounge, maybe in your bedroom, there's a television set. Someone has called our TV set the great burner up of time. Others have called it a disruptor of families, or a destroyer of conversation, or a substitute for intelligent thought. Well, I'm not too sure about some of those, but the danger is, the great danger for all of us here today, is that we spend far, far too much time before the TV set. Or we just sit. And that's also not good. So what the Apostle Paul is going to teach us this morning, and I believe it to be personally of incredible relevance, is this. How do you monitor and determine what goes in? Because you remember, what goes in goes out. Garbage in is garbage out. And the apostle is going to give us a very, very practical section here on what we should be thinking on and what we should be focusing on. And I want to begin by reading to you a quotation from a wonderful writer, a man by the name of Alec Mortier. He wrote these words. Won't you listen to them carefully? He said, quote, "A carnal mind is the surest and the most direct passport to the downward path." Is that all right? You got that? Let me read it one more time. "A carnal mind is the surest and the most direct passport to the downward path. But likewise, a mind that is drilled to dwell upon things which have God's approval is the surest and the steadiest way to newness of life." So there are two lessons I'm going to leave with you this morning, friends, that I hope you'll take home and take seriously. And where there are areas where you may need to readjust, I hope that you and I will adjust. What we're going to have a look at, just see your outline there for a moment, is first of all, in verse 8, he's going to show us how to focus our attention very carefully. So what should be the focus of your thought life? What should you be thinking on when you just sit? You see? What governs our thought life? And then secondly, I want to show you how you must feed your mind correctly. Alright? How to focus your attention carefully and how to feed your mind correctly. So come with me then first of all on what to focus all your attention on. Alright? Now have a look at verse 8 with me. You got verse 8 in front of you? Let me read it one more time. Finally, brothers, we're coming now to the conclusion. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, Spurgeon is one of my favorite authors. They used to call me Spurgeon when I was at Bible college because I used to read one of his sermons every lunch hour. And I love his books. He made this comment. He said, you can't stop the birds flying above your head, but you can stop them making a nest in your hair. And what he was illustrating through that is just this. You must be careful with the thoughts that you allow to stick in your mind. Now, my friends, there are 7 points to remember. What should you and I be thinking and focusing our attention on? Here they are, 7 things. Number 1, whatever is true. Alright? Whatever is true. In other words, for us, it's the real as is opposed to the phony. Now, you know better than me. There are many, many things in our lives which are deceptive. Many of them are an illusion. Many of them promise lies. So what you and I have to be very careful of is this. What do I focus my attention on? And I must be careful that I'm focusing my attention and my thoughts on what is true. Is it true? That's the question I ask. That truth will always have its norm in God. It will always lead to goodness and righteousness and holiness. But I ask myself, is it true? Am I going to focus on a book and I want to spend hours reading it? Is what it's going to teach me, is it true? Is that film true? Is that DVD true? Is that conversation true? That's how I live. That's what we are encouraged to do. Now we're so very, very privileged in today's world after all that has gone on before us because, for example, the Bible tells us that thy word is truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. Remember, the armor of God is that we are to put on the girdle of truth. So for you and I as Christians, what do I feed into my mind? What do I feed through the gate of my eyes? What do I feed into my mind through the gate of my ears? I must make sure it's true and it's not phony. Number 2. The second question we ask is this. Whatever is noble. Noble. Put another way, the serious as opposed to the frivolous. And death doesn't mean the end. There's eternity. Souls go to heaven for all eternity or they will go to hell. These are very, very serious. We take Jesus' words very seriously. Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? But he loses his soul. That's a very important thing to remember. The most critical thing in our lives is our soul. There's nothing more important than that. And so there is a serious part in our lives. You want to deal with a real Christian? There's a seriousness. We are saved at a great price. It was the blood of Christ. We live in the presence of God. We are going to face Christ one day. There is eternity. There is the day of judgment. Our words, our thoughts, our actions, our lifestyles are going to be judged. And a Christian isn't frivolous. You ought not to become a Christian who's frivolous. A Christian is serious. There's a serious part to their nature. That's what you must focus on. Focus your attention on what is true. Focus your attention on what is serious. Then the third principle that he lays down here for us is whatever is right. Whatever is right. As we get to know God and grow in our understanding of God in His Word, that's going to filter through. And the way we live, the things we do, the amount of money we pay people who help us at home, the way we fill in our income tax, the way we carry out our business, the way we bring up our children, the way we plan our days, the way we look at our diaries, the way I spend my money, every part of our lives. We come and we say to ourselves, am I doing what is right? Am I doing what is right? Is it real? Is it true? Is it serious? And is it right? Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Is it right? And sometimes you and I may come home and say, you know, it's not right. What do? We change. So all the time in your life and in my life, there's change. Because it's like James. Remember James in his letter? He said, it's like a mirror. The Bible's like a mirror. You know what happened this morning? What did you do? You woke up and you went before the mirror. Some stage or another, every one of us. And you had a look. You got a fright. So you fixed up the stuff. You put on a whole lot of things to look pretty for when you came here. And the guys looked respectable. You see, you looked. And you saw what was needed to be done, and then you did it. And that's how we live. The Christian comes to the Bible, it's a mirror. It shows us what we've done. Oh, I've thought a thought. I should never have thought that. We repent of that and we put it right. Or the words that we've said to people, that I should never have spoken like that. And we get convicted and we put it right. Or what I've done, I should never have done it. And we've done it and we repent. So all the time there's change, but what do I focus my attention on? What do I allow to come through the ear gate and through the eye gate? I say to myself, is it real? Is it serious? Is it true? And then number four, we say to ourselves, is it clean? Whatever is pure. So the clean, as is opposed to the dirty. My dear friends, one of the biggest problems on the internet or on your little laptop or television or your computer is pornography. And I'm telling you, it comes onto that screen without you even thinking about it. You just click onto something and a bad thing will come. You've all had that experience and I've had that experience. Now you've got to be so careful. So careful. So careful. What I watch, always I say, is it clean? Is it clean? Is that movie clean? Is that DVD clean? Is that book clean? Is that joke clean? That's what Paul is saying to us. What do you focus your attention on? Focus on what is clean as what is opposed to dirty. I've told you before, but it just comes up this morning. If you don't mind, I'd just like to say it one more time. But I've got into a program, and if ever I log on or get into a pornographic site on my computer, two things will happen with immediate effect. Straight away, a message gets sent to Mary to say Warwick has gone into that site. Straight away. And straight away a message will go to my warden, Mike Long. Straight away. Now I want to tell you, I'm petrified. I won't even think about it. But it's a very good thing for me. And a couple of us on the staff have also got into it. Why? Because we ask ourselves, am I always watching what is clean? Someone wants to tell us a joke and said, look, it's a bit below the belt. I always say, I hope graciously. You must always be gracious. I say, my friend, no thank you. I'd rather not listen to be honest. I don't want to listen to dirty stuff. I don't want to listen to dirty words. I don't want you to give me a dirty magazine. I don't want to read some slutty stuff. A Christian says, is it clean? Focus your attention carefully. Number five, the fifth principle that governs our thought life, according to this passage, is whatever is lovely. Whatever is lovely. It breeds love and it evokes love. Now there are lots of lovely, lovely programs on TV. There's lots of absolute rubbish. But there's lots of lovely programs. Watch those. That's what he's saying to us. There's some lovely music. But I quite enjoy music. I'm always listening to music. Music's wonderful. It's a gift. Not just hymns. Not just choruses. There's some magnificent music. But I want to have music that's lovely. I want magazines that are lovely. And I want to watch things that are lovely. That's what you focus your attention on. It's lovely. It's lovely. One of the commentators helped me by saying this. It might not be going too far to say that it describes as things that are fit for God to hear. On the lips of Christians and in the mind of Christians, there will only be words which are fit for God to hear. Is it lovely? If it's not, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to actually look at it. I don't want to hear it. I must focus my attention on what is true, what is serious, what is right, what is clean, what is lovely. And number six, he says, what is admirable. That's a lovely thing, to be admired in every way. And lastly, number seven, you see, if anything is excellent, isn't that interesting? See verse 8, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, see what we're saying, friends. It's not an irrelevant thing we're focusing on here this morning. He's taking you and I to another plane. We are living in another world. So many, many things all around you are on a lower level. They like the dirty. They like the pornography. They like the swearing. They like the ducking and the diving. We are not like that. A true Christian says, no, I want to focus my attention on what is clean, what is lovely, what is to be admired, what is true, what is serious. These are the things that we focus our attention on carefully. And so he says, think on these things. Now for a minute, let me go back to that quotation by Alec Mottier. Now you can see what he's saying. Listen one more time. A carnal mind. So you've got a mind that's not focusing on these things. Your mind is carnal or worldly. It is the surest and it is the most direct passport to the downward path. Now you all are far more aware of it than me. But watch the news at 1 o'clock or watch the news tonight. Watch carefully. This world is in a mess. I'm telling you, friends, it's in a mess. An absolute shambles. Do you know why? Because of this. This is the root. This is the root. When you fill your mind with what is not true and not right and not clean and not lovely and not a good report, of course you're going to sleep around. Of course you're going to have murders. Of course you're going to have rape. Of course we're going to have crime. These things are going to come because your mind is carnal. But when you've got a mind that's focused on God, it affects the way you live. I find this a fantastic passage today of relevance for us. So there's number one. Focus your attention carefully. Now just number two and then we're out of here. What's the second point? Feed your mind correctly. Look at verse 9, just our last verse. Whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen in me, put it into practice. Friends, this is critical for me and for you. Feed your mind. How do I do that? They're the three suggestions on your outline. Number one, use your mind to learn the Word of God. See, whatever you have both learned and received. And I say it again to you, and I do that by speaking to myself. See? But let us use our mind. And above everything else, make sure, make very, very sure. Let's be careful. Let's be on our guard. Let's put certain things into place so that you and I in our lives are making time to learn the Bible. We must learn and read the Bible. And it's very scary, if I may say that to you this morning, I'm sure not folks here today, to find out how much time people do spend reading the Bible. Can I just be a bit practical for a second? Don't have to put up your hand or stand on your head. Just answer in your mind two questions for me. I want to ask you, just to help you, how much time did you spend watching TV yesterday? Okay? Don't worry about the other days. Let's just go on yesterday. How much time? Honestly. Okay, Harvey's adding up the minutes there. Okay, you got it, eh? You got it to the back of your head. Grace, you're right? You got it. Don't tell me, I need to tell Mark. How much time? All right, now just my second question. How much time did you spend reading the Bible yesterday? Okay, you're adding it up. You see, my precious people, your answer to those questions is going to help me to see the state of your mind. What are you feeding your mind? What this passage is saying to us is, use your mind and make time. It's of absolute top priority. Make time. Make time to read and learn and digest and meditate and think through and allow the precious Word of God to mold your thinking. That's what he's saying. Use your mind to learn the Bible. Number two, he says, use your ears. to hear the word of God. He says, and whatever you have heard from me. So there again, when you're driving your car, you can get a CD and put it in on some magnificent sermons or Christian music or great hymns that will teach you. But all the time, you see, what am I listening to? What am I listening to? You see, brothers and sisters, you know this, eh? We all know this. But what you listen to has a great impact on how you live. I love the old hymns, to be honest. I'm old in that way. I know that. I'm old-fashioned in that way. You cannot beat the old hymns. Why? Because they've got theology. So when you're listening to the hymns, you're getting theology. There are some good ones of the modern era, but not as good as the old. You see, because it teaches us. When Martin Luther started the Reformation, the first thing he did was produce a hymn book. Because your music is critical. What do you hear? So let's make sure when I've got the radio on, not all the time, but I'm making time to listen to some good music, Christian music. I'm making time to listen to some helpful programs. You can listen to James Dobson every morning on how to run your family. I listen to James Dobson. It's only very short, just a couple of minutes, but it's so helpful, eh? Just before 6 every morning. East Coast Radio, 94.95. Every day he's got a very helpful thing, eh? And I sometimes get very convicted, and I thought, eesh, I've got to go and do that quickly. Because I've been failing on that matter. But it's helpful, you see, it's in my ear. And I listen to Dobson, and I think, hey, I must do that. I've slipped up, I've failed. I better go and do it. You see, what am I listening to? What am I learning? And you know what, friends, with all our limitations, eh? We try and encourage you at all our meetings to read books. Don't we? A book table is available this morning, right there in the foyer. Fantastic books. We've got a bookshop. Mike comes with his books to Men for the Master and our Bible studies. Why do we do this? Because it's important. Because what I read, what I hear, what I focus my mind on determines what sort of person I am. And thirdly, use your eyes. And whatever you have seen, and you and I want to focus and look and see, there's a Christian woman. I want to be like that. There's a Christian man. What we see in other believers. Use your mind to learn the Bible and learn of great books like we're sharing this morning. Use your ears to hear the Word of God. What will be the result? Does it work? Hey friends, does this work? Look at the result. And the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that wonderful? The God of peace will be with you. When you learn to focus your attention carefully and you feed your mind correctly, the God of peace will be with you. Now what can we do this morning? I'd like to suggest to you as a brother, don't forget about this. It's very important what we focused on today. Sometime during the day, or perhaps tonight when things are cooled down a bit, you go and you say, right, I've got to adjust. There's some lovely programs on my TV that I want to continue to watch. That's terrific. I also am going to continue to watch. I love some programs. But there's some rubbish I'm not going to watch. And I'm going to spend more time than I've ever done reading the Bible. And then I'm going to find time to read good books. And I want to find the time to listen to good music and to listen to good sermons, to listen to things on my radio or wherever else it is, in my car, that's going to help me draw near to God. And you will find the God of peace will be with you. How's that sound? Sound all right? Some of you glaring at me. Well, you go and think about it, eh? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the very practical help that the Bible is to us once we've become Christians. It's not easy, Lord. We live in a fallen world and a very depraved world and a very sinful world. And to live like this will put us aside from other people. But we pray that you'll give us determination to readjust our program, to readjust our diaries, to set aside money for books at the end of the month, to just read and learn and study the Bible above all else, so that, Lord, we are filling our mind with what is good and lovely and truthful. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.